Greetings. Welcome to another installment of Interviews with Enlightening Experts. Today, I have with me somebody extremely educated and enlightened. Dr. Ali Benazir is here, and he is both an MD and has a master's in philosophy. Correct?
That's correct.
And he's the author of several books and several articles on thehuffingtonpost.com, where I've seen quite a few of your things. And he's the author of a fantastic book we'll be discussing today called The Tao of Dating, The Smart Woman's Guide to Becoming Absolutely Irresistible.
That's correct.
Hey, hey. We all need that. And he is also a clinical hypnotherapist and NLP master practitioner. He's consulted Fortune 500 companies, maintains a hypnotherapy practice here in Los Angeles, and is committed to helping women become the best possible versions of themselves at his blog at daovdating.com. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Dr. Ali, I'm so happy you're here. Thank you. Thank you. So we have met before, and I've been fortunate to interview you before, but that has been a while, so I'm sure you've expanded and enhanced your methods. Would you first start by explaining what is the Tao?
So the Tao, spelled T-A-O but pronounced Tao, is the Chinese word for way. So the idea is that there is a certain way, there's a path of least resistance in the world for getting stuff done. And, you know, you can think of it as the grain in wood, right? If you cut along the grain, it's a lot easier. If you cut against it, it's a lot harder, right? If you swim upstream, it's harder. If you swim downstream with the current, it's a lot easier. So the idea is to feel out what that way is in your life. So if you're doing something and you're struggling, you feel like you're hitting a wall, well, maybe you try something a little different. So the way is all, the Tao is all about finding that way of least effort that gives you the best results.
Love that. Excellent. Yeah, I don't know how many of us know about the grain of wood thing, but that swimming thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Merrily, merrily, merrily downstream. You know that song, Row, Row, Row Your Boat, has all the things you need in life.
Amazing. Nursery rhymes.
Yes. Tell us so much. So how did you come to care about things like the Tao and helping women become irresistible? How did that happen?
Right. Well, I did write a book for men some time ago, and I thought it would be only fair to write a book for women. But the impetus behind it, behind both the book for men and women, was that I had all these friends, and they're just, you know, really nice people. They're smart, they're good looking, they're accomplished. And all started my days at Harvard when I was an advisor, first a student, then advisor. And I saw all these people, you know, they had so much of their life really well taken care of, except for their love lives. Mm. And they just, you know, for some reason that part was not taken care of. And I realized that a lot of it has to do with the fact that we're not really instructed in that domain. We don't – nobody teaches us anything about it. Mom and dad may go your entire life without ever talking about it. So it's a little bit trial and error. And it's also kind of relegated to, you know, fourth or fifth priority. It's like, okay, career first.
Well, at Harvard, I would imagine, those kids.
Especially, right. But just amongst, you know, educated, successful women in particular, sometimes – takes a backseat as maybe just an extracurricular activity. But really what people have found over and over again to be the most enriching aspect of their lives, the one thing that contributes most to their happiness, is the strength of their relationships, so their intimate relationships. So this should be front and center. And so this book, The Tao of Dating, is meant for those people who are very good at what they do, and I'm sure they'll be very, very good at this as well as soon as they have a path. So the idea is like, hey, you know, here's the recipe and this is how you do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love that because the book really is full of so many great ideas and concepts. Mm-hmm. But you say, I'm not here to tell you what to do or how to do it. I'm just here to give you some ideas. You already have everything within you.
Right, exactly. I mean, the whole idea of what I really like about Eastern wisdom, Buddhism, Taoism, is that they say, hey, look, you know, don't believe me. I mean, the first thing I always say is I am not a guru, right? Mm-hmm. I am merely a guide, right? And I'm here to guide you to the door of your own wisdom. And here are the principles and use them. If they work for you, great. If not, you know, try something else. And if it does work, keep on using it. And always add a little bit of your own stuff to it too. So, you know, I'm giving you a set of principles that have worked. They're either derived from Eastern wisdom, they've been around for 2,500 years, or they come from Western science, you know, scientists went and did some experiments, and they were corroborated. And so, you know, it has some semblance of truth to it. You know, mm-hmm. this stuff has worked for other people, so it may work for you as well. In the meantime, go test it out for yourself. And if you feel like something is a little different, a little foreign, that's a good sign that you should definitely try it out, because whatever you've been doing up to this point has gotten you to where you are right now. Uh-huh. And if that's not good enough, then maybe try something new and maybe step outside of your comfort zone.
Well, and what you just said about here you were at Harvard among some of the most intelligent, hardworking, hopefully, you know, exemplary students, young people right. in the prime of life, their physical heights, their mental heights, and their love lives were a mess. And I see this all the time in my work where these incredibly impressive people come to see me and they've got, you know, the outfit, the job, the great car, the, you know, they own their home, whatever. Yeah. And they're so mystified by this part of their life.
And the good news is it's really not that difficult. So if you're able to master being a CEO, a lawyer, a doctor, this is, you know, it's within some same realm of difficulty. It's not.
Oh, I think it's easier than becoming a doctor.
There you go.
Because it's more natural.
Right.
Well, you would know more about that than I would.
And the idea is this is what you're built to do. So it's mostly an uncovering of what's already there as opposed to, you know, learning brand new ways of doing things. So it's all in there already. We're here just to help you uncover it and, you know, feel great doing it.
So you just said a few things really important about Eastern philosophy, mm-hmm. Buddhism. You break the book up into some great sections, mm-hmm. and you talk a lot about be, do, have. Mm-hmm. Will you touch on what that's about?
Sure. So one of the big principles of Taoism is being as opposed to doing. And the idea is that a lot of people, they think that in order to get a result that they want, they have to start by having the result, and that doesn't really work that way. So the people are caught up in the have, do, be paradigm. They think, for example, if I had a boyfriend, then I could do all the things that people who have great boyfriends do, like, you know, going out on a Friday night, you know, having somebody to snuggle up with on a Sunday, and then I can be happy. And what I'm advocating here is to look at it the other way around and realize that if you start by being a happy and fulfilled and just generally fulfilled person, mm-hmm. right? Then that radiates out into everything that you do, and you start doing the things that the kind of person who is happy and fulfilled does and self-sufficient. And so, you know, you have all these guys going around saying, hey, who is that incredibly radiant woman who's always happy? I want to be around that. And then as a side result, you end up having that great relationship that you've been looking for to start with. Except that, you know, by the time you're there, you're so glowing and so happy that it's almost an afterthought.
Ah.
So, and that's another principle, which is the principle of abundance. So if you're actually seeking something out, if you're actively thinking, hey, this is lacking in my life, that tends to run away from you because the universe tends to be a reflection of your dominant feeling tone, your dominant mentality. If you're coming to the universe with lack, then the universe will generally respond with lack. If you come to the universe with abundance, then the universe will respond in abundance. And I'm here to tell you that the universe is actually abundant. There are, well, I don't know, 6.5 billion people last time we counted. Half of them are guys. Of those, even if like
49%, right?
Slightly less than half. I know. Okay, you're right. There is scarcity.
Because of all the old ladies that are, you know, throwing off the ratios.
Hey, but even if 0.1% of that, you know, 49% was good enough for you, that's, you know,
that's a lot of men.
That's several million eligible men out there. So even if you live in a small town, there are several hundred, if not thousands of them out there who are single and interesting and nice and kind. So it's really a process of opening yourself up to the possibilities. And when you recognize that abundance, it's like you're walking to the supermarket with a whole bunch of money in your pocket and you can buy whatever you want. And so you're not needy. The needy don't get fed, but those who are abundant do. So that's one of the really big principles of the whole abundance thing.
Okay, so back up. What do you mean by the needy don't get fed? I love that. What is that about?
Right. So the universe tends to be a reflection of how you feel.
Gotcha.
So if you are, if you're feeling needy, if you're feeling scarcity, then people notice that. And they're like, okay, what's wrong with that person? If you ask guys what their two biggest turnoffs are, it's neediness and clinginess, right? So,
well, you do surveys because you have a lot of people that read your things online.
Right,
so
right.
You have a way to contact you know, your readers and ask questions. We've surveyed
the boys. We've asked the boys.
So you said you've asked 10,000 men what their top beefs about women are.
Right.
And they all said needy and...
neediness and clinginess.
But isn't that the same thing, needy and clingy? There was something else, I thought.
Well, needy is more like they're similar.
Insecure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Neediness is, the whole idea is a guy is very turned on by the idea of a woman who wants him.
Right.
But not so much by a woman who needs
him. Can't live
him.
Without.
Exactly. And the clingy thing is like, oh, you know, I can't live, you know, I can't, I need to have you around all the time.
And don't he leave does, the room
doesn't
without
give
me.
The man his freedom because, mm-hmm. yeah, to a man, freedom is his... is everything, right? Mm-hmm. So if a woman denies him his freedom, then it's all over. So that's pretty important to them.
Well, but I think a lot of women don't know how to do that because, mm-hmm. of course, we want to deny you your freedom. Mm-hmm. Because we want to give you our freedom. Mm-hmm. If you're the guy we want, mm-hmm. we want to give you our freedom. Mm-hmm. So we want that in return. Mm-hmm. But we want to give you the illusion that it's your idea. You know what I mean? Like that you wanted to give up that some of that freedom. But obviously I'm being mm-hmm. really literal here.
Well, one of the big principles of the Tao of Dating is enlightened self-interest. And the idea is that, you know, if you think two steps beyond the present moment, thinking about your long-term self-interest, then that ends up being the course of action that's actually best for you and for everybody around you. So, for example, let's take this whole freedom thing, right? If you take a guy and you kind of cage him in and shut the door, right, at the moment it seems like a great idea because there he is and he can't go anywhere, right? But in the long term, he's probably not going to like that. He just may rebel and take off at the first opportunity, right? Mm. Whereas if you leave the cage door open, right, you've accomplished two things. First of all, you know he's there of his own volition, right? Because if the cage door is open and he's still there, well, guess what? He wants to be there, right?
Nice.
And the second thing is you're saying implicitly, hey, I trust you. You can do whatever you want. And, you know, saying to a man, I trust you, feels the same way as saying, woman, I love you.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. So, you know, and that just makes him want to stick around even more. I mean, I remember the story of a friend of mine. And he'd just gotten married, and he said, hey, I'm going off to my friend's bachelor party.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of women would go, oh, no, no, bachelor party, now what do you do? And so this woman, this exemplary woman, she said, oh, really? Here's $60. Get yourself some lap dances. Have fun. Right? So a woman who says that, right, where's the guy going to go? He's got nowhere else to go, right? He's like, oh, my God, she is so cool. I want to be with her. So do I necessarily think that's right for everybody? Maybe not. You may have a different kind of relationship. But the point is when you have that self-possession, when you have that confidence to be able to say to the guy, you know what, you'll get your lap dance because you're coming right back to me after that.
Right.
I have no problem with that. That's a lot more powerful and a lot more effective in keeping him sticking around than saying, well, don't you dare do this, 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 and this.
Right.
So,
My man doesn't go to bachelor parties. No, Right. Scary.
Right. So.
Well, yeah, and when you make something taboo, then they want it more. Mm-hmm. When you make something.
Absolutely. Should we go into the whole five principles of becoming irresistible?
Please.
Yeah. So
we're dying to know how to be irresistible.
So we just discussed one of them, right? One of them is... give him his freedom.
Nice.
Right? So that's huge. And
now, obviously, you have to do this with a man mm-hmm. who is trustable. You know what I mean? Like some men, you give him $60, he's not going to go get a lap dance. He's going to go get a lot more. You know what I mean? So I always try to encourage women to think of men in terms of what kind of man is mm-hmm. he? And mm-hmm. you have such a fantastic way mm-hmm. for women to discover or figure out if a guy's a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
You have some of the best descriptions
of
what makes a good guy and what makes a bad guy. Oh, my gosh. I love this. So forgive me. I don't mean to take you off.
All right. Tell you what. We'll go into the – because this is very important stuff.
Great.
Let's tell the woman how to pick
because
the good guy.
Because that's the guy you give mm-hmm. $60 to.
Exactly.
And you don't give anybody.
Right. We're assuming that you've already done
smart.
A good job of selecting the right guy.
Right.
Okay. And so I offer three archetypes for men. So we call them Biff, Lance, and Victor. Okay?
I love this.
So you can kind of guess where we're going with this. But okay. So the idea is – yeah, let's break it down to two things, spine and heart. Okay, so you want a guy who has heart and both both spine and heart. Okay, so if a guy has just spine, he's kind of this masculine brute that's biff, right? And, you know, on a certain level, he's attractive. He may be a bad boy. But on the other hand, you know, the heart is missing, and that's kind of important, right? You want to have that heart connection.
And you want him to be, like, a good, like, to care. You want him to have some kindness and some conscience.
So he has the backbone, but he's lacking the compassion.
And
the conscience of all those other things. Then you have Lance. So Lance is kind of the sensitive New Age guy, right? He's got a lot of heart.
He probably takes yoga.
He probably, you know, burns incense or something like that. You know, good guy, and certainly an improvement upon Biff. Some may say, but he's kind of lacking the whole aspect of spine, right? So spine being masculine energy, the young, and heart being feminine energy, the yin. And this ties into the whole Taoist program that we're talking about, yin and yang. So this guy, you know, he's got the heart, he's compassionate, but he's not really that strong. Exactly. So that doesn't really do it for you either. So what you want is Victor.
Yeah, we want to kill those guys.
Yeah. You want Victor. Victor's got the spine, and at the same time, he's got the heart, right? So he's got this balance between the masculine and the feminine, so he's capable of compassion and kindness, and at the same time, standing up for himself and standing up for you. So that's what you want to be looking for.
Nice.
And, you know, I have long descriptions and a whole...
I absolutely love
whole,
this.
Whole sections on bad boys.
I could do a whole 2-week course just on Biff, Lance, and Victor.
That's right. So I feel like we should probably cover bad boys, too. I mean, bad boys, you know, here's the thing. You know, the metaphor that works for me is bad boys are like cheesecake, okay? So cheesecake tastes good.
Awesome.
Great idea at the moment, right? But afterwards, you feel kind of full. And if you make cheesecake your diet as opposed to real food, you will be fat and sick. Okay,
so and your teeth will fall out.
Yes. And your teeth, all kinds of bad things will happen. So just recognize that in yourself and realize that there's this visceral attraction to the Biff types and the bad boys. And what you want to do is to just very consciously move away. So if there's cheesecake in this aisle of the grocery store and you can't resist it, don't go in that aisle.
Well, and here's what I loved that you said about bad boys, because I try to describe, I call them astrologically afflicted men.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So I talk about them in my book as well, but I have to say I'm jealous of your book because you broke them down so beautifully. And one of the things you said that I thought was so genius is you said, look for extremes.
Right.
Bad boys have extremes.
Right.
They're extremely good looking. They're extremely, you know, exciting. They're extremely adventurous. They drink to extreme. They have extreme behavior.
Right. And that's the thing. I mean, my definition of bad boy is somebody who's going to make you miserable in the long term. And this could be because he's one of the worst version of bad boys is the indecisive guy. He's like, what do you want to do? I don't know. That guy is going to make your life miserable. Okay. So then you got the thrill seeker bad boy, right? He's got this black leather jacket and a motorcycle, throws you in the back, vroom, takes off, right? And who knows when you're ever going to come back, right?
or if.
Right.
And then, when he goes to bachelor parties, he maybe doesn't come back.
You just never know, right? So you got that kind of bad boy. You got the inconsiderate guy who just doesn't care.
I think we all think of the cheater when we think of bad boys. We think of the guy that's like so smoking hot and he's – you know, everybody thinks he's so smoking hot.
Right.
So he takes full advantage of that.
And the reason why I emphasize the whole bad boy thing so much is because one of the major reasons I wrote this book is because I saw so many of my brilliant, accomplished, smart, lovely,
Harvard-educated.
I mean, you know, they're no chumps, right? They're no dummies, but they get stuck in these relationships with these bad boys because there's, you know, chemical mix, there's oxytocin, you have a couple of orgasms with the guy, you think you're in love with him, they get themselves in this trouble. So, you know, getting stuck with a bad boy is a little bit like weight loss, like being overweight. Once you're overweight, it's too late, right?
Oh.
Almost nothing works. So prevention is the best cure.
Oh.
Just stay away from them.
Really? Cutting calories and exercising doesn't
work? No, I mean, you know, I hate to break it to you, but you have a better chance of recovering from cancer than to take weight off your body and keep it off.
Oh. Well, that's a conversation for another day.
Yeah, we do that too.
You just depressed a bunch of us. Okay, then. So, okay. So, we want to avoid the bad boys. Well, and you said something so amazing about why women stay with bad boys. That whole thing, like, you feel like I've invested so much.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, I
can't quit now.
I call it the slot machine theory of human behavior. Okay, so if you go to a slot machine, what you do is you put in a coin, you pull the lever, and nothing happens.
And you lose your coin.
Another coin, exactly. Coin's
gone.
That's
my experience.
Right. You're like, yeah, whatever. I'm still sitting here. Might as well. You put another coin in, you pull the lever, and nothing happens. And, you know, you do this for a little while. Suddenly you're thinking, I'm invested now. I mean, this thing's going to blow any second. It's going to pay off huge, right? The fact is, every pull of that lever has the same minuscule probability of a win. It makes no difference how many coins you put into
really?
It.
Really?
It's all sunk costs, right? It's gone. And human beings are very bad at recognizing the whole soul idea of
this
sunk
costs.
This
is why I never win at slot machines. Okay.
Right. So they say, oh, I've already put 2 years into this guy. I can quit now. No, you're never getting those 2 years back. However, if you stay another day with him, that's one day that you could be spending with a guy who is a hell of a lot better for you, who would make you feel like the queen of the universe, and, you know, you're wasting your time. So the idea is cut and run.
Okay, you could do a whole two-week seminar just on that.
Yep.
And the thing is, sunken cost.
Sunk cost, that's right. So human beings are really bad at...
We are. Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's like...
No,
you know,
you're so true.
It's like saying, you know, I bought tickets to this movie, but then this party came up. Well, I'm already invested in the movie. I should go to the movie instead of the party. But the fact is, the money's gone. You're never getting the money back, even if you...
But that party will never happen again, and you can always go see the movie tomorrow.
Exactly. So that's called sunk cost. So if people recognize that, you know, I do a whole, you know, seminar on happiness and things, but there's a lot of counterintuitive things that people do.
Nice.
That actually end up making you happier. So
awesome.
Right. But let's talk about the five things that make one irresistible.
Please.
All right. So we went through all that, so you make sure you find the right guy, right? He's the guy who makes you feel great. This is fulfillment-centered dating, right, as opposed to resume-centered dating. You know, the guy who checks all of your boxes, who makes you miserable, is probably wrong for you. The guy who's, you know, slightly shorter than you thought, slightly balder, slightly pudgier, who makes you feel like $1 million, that's the right guy. So
you'll be more fulfilled.
Exactly. So let your fulfillment be your guide. Let your fulfillment feelings be your guide. That's a whole story in itself. So the idea is once you found that guy, okay, so this is how you make him feel like $1 million. So he sticks around, right? First of all, you give him his freedom. If you're that woman who knows how to give him his freedom so the cage door is always open, guess what? He'll keep on coming back. It's the only way that that works.
Love it.
Give him your trust. So, you know, when you say to a guy, I absolutely trust you, I entrust you with my life, that's basically saying I love you.
Beautiful.
Yeah, because that just raises him in his masculine power.
And does that make a man want to honor that trust? Does it make him a better man?
Absolutely. So one of the great powers that women have is that they're able to make a man grow in any area of his life by shining the light of their attention on it. I mean,
beautiful.
I mean, you know, to use a very straightforward metaphor, a woman can make a man erect by directing her attention at that aspect of him, right?
Okay.
Right? So that's the same idea.
I've heard.
It's been known to happen.
So I've heard.
Somewhere.
Okay.
And so if you direct your attention to his generosity, he will grow in generosity.
Hmm.
If you direct your attention to his pettiness, he'll probably become pettier. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is
energy goes where your attention flows.
Exactly. I mean, you know, there's this new age saying, but the fact is it has a name. I just found out it has a name in psychology. It's called the Pygmalion effect.
Mm.
So if you go up to somebody and say, hey, you jerk, they'll probably come back to you and say, well, screw you too, right? But if you say, oh, my God, you know, you're such a nice person.
Hero.
Yeah, then they'll say, oh, wow, that's very sweet of you too. You're very nice too. Okay, so it's really simple. So direct your attention in the way you want the man to grow. So if you give him your trust and you allow him to take charge, even though you know he's kind of lost in the car, you say, hey, you know, I know you can pull this off, right? Then, he will love you.
And he just drove past the exit.
Just relax. You know, just resist the temptation to take over and wear the pants, right?
Right.
Just let him do it. And we know you're smart. We know you're strong. Just let the guy do his thing so he can feel like he's a guy. Give him your bond. Basically, make your word your bond. So many guys I know, you know, they're always, you know, got their head down. They're bemoaning the fact that, you know, I made a date. She didn't show up, right?
Yeah,
she
made this comment. Men complain to you about flakiness like crazy.
Exactly.
And, you know, our friend David D'Angelo says the same thing, that men feel, and I think women are shocked by that. We think that that only happens to us. Mm-hmm. We think that men are the only ones that are flaky.
Right.
It doesn't occur to us that women are also flaky.
Happens on both ends.
I hear this all the time from mm-hmm. men, that women are flaky.
Happens on both ends. And, you know, being the recipient of letters from both parties, I tend to think that happens to men slightly more than it does to women.
Interesting.
But the fact is, it doesn't matter.
We're more flighty.
The frequency doesn't matter. The fact is, once you make your word your bond, once the guy feels that, then he's going to love you forever because he's been hurt so many times. He's been left behind, left in the dust, stood up so many times. You don't know his history, right? And he's not going to talk about it because guys generally don't talk about these things, right?
He's been rejected at junior high school dances in front of all his friends.
Exactly. So he's got this whole chronicle of pain. A litany of woe. So if you come and you give him your word and it's as good as gold,
but then doesn't that make us boring?
Well, we have that in there too.
Oh, really? You address our boringness?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. How to keep it exciting.
How to keep it exciting. That's the last chapter.
So, nice.
Yes, you can remind me of that.
I actually read it, but anyway.
Yeah, so.
Nice.
And so give him your bond.
So say what you mean and mean what you say.
Exactly. And then the fourth one is give him your praise. So, again, a guy will grow in whatever respect that you direct your attention to. So, and, you know, he's been doing this for thousands upon thousands of years. You know, he builds entire mausoleum buildings, like the Taj Mahal. You know, any major thing that's been done in this world has basically been done by guys to impress women. So be impressed.
True.
Like, pretend it's like, oh, well, that Taj Mahal thing, that is really nice. Thank you, sweetheart, right? So everything that he's doing, he's basically doing for you. I mean, he may not even know it himself, but he is. You know, the whole fancy job, fancy car, it's all to impress the chicks. So, you know, give him some credit and he'll feel great and he'll keep on coming back to you. Because, again, you'd be shocked and amazed at how scarce genuine praise, a real compliment is. And if you know how to target that man, I mean, you know, I can remember three people who gave a compliment that just hit the target so hard that I'll never forget for the rest of my life.
Wow.
Right? And if you know how to do that, then you basically own him.
So really think about what's important to him and praise that.
Exactly. And, you know, women are super perceptive when it comes to these things. Just turn that on and really observe him. And watch what he's doing and watch what's important to him and then give him the praise. If he has a fancy car and say, wow, it's a really nice car you have. Mm. You know, or, you know, you can get more substantial than that too. But the point is, guys are really pretty obvious.
Or,
about these
wow,
things.
Your car's so crappy. You must be so confident to drive this car.
Brilliant. There you go. It's like, oh, you know,
that was the guys I dated.
Real men wear pink, right? So it's true though. You can tell what a guy's strengths are. It's usually right out there. And finally, give him your grace, okay? So boys will slip and fall. No question. Why? Because they're human. Women do it too, right? So if you are the one who is willing to take him back, if you're the one who is willing to say, hey, I see this is what you did, right? I do not think you are the sum total of your worst moments.
I see that you took out another $60 and bought more lap dances. And spent more than we'd agreed upon.
Exactly.
Oh, well.
Right. But, you know, we're not saying be a pushover. We're saying give him your grace. Grace is very different from being a pushover.
Ooh,
right?
What's the difference?
Well, you know, being a doormat or a pushover means that this happens over and over again.
Okay.
And you tolerate it, right?
Because you're needy and clingy.
Exactly. But if you are that strong woman who knows who she is and knows what she wants, right, then you kind of look at it and you say, look, somebody else would walk here. I'm not going to because this is what I see in you. And then you direct your attention again to those aspects of him that you want to see grow in him. And then he'll be so overwhelmed with gratitude, if he's the right guy, right, mm-hmm. that he will turn around and he will straighten out. If he is Charlie Sheen, then he won't, right?
Right, but then you're delusional.
But that's just, you know, of course you would never go out with a guy like Charlie Sheen in the first place, right? Another little aside, as a guy I can tell you this, please don't take on guys in your life thinking that they're the project and you're saying you can fix
them. Your love is strong enough.
That is just asking for pain. Think in terms of your long-term self-interest. So long-term self-interest, three aspects of that. So first of all is long-term, right? Not short-term. Self, right? So the idea is, you know, I see this whole martyr syndrome out there, especially with women, more women than men.
Yeah.
And I think, oh, you know, like Whitney Houston, I'm just going to sacrifice myself. I will save him through my love. And I will ignore my own needs for that. And
And then I'll lose my entire career.
Yeah, and that just doesn't work. That doesn't work for anybody because you are the goddess. You are an amazing woman. And the world needs you to be as radiant as possible,
empowered as possible. What I love about the Tao and how you so beautifully explain it is it's all about what is so. It's not about the world as you wish it was.
Exactly.
It's about recognizing the world as it actually is. And recognizing the man as he actually is.
I think that's a high five moment right there.
Ah!
There you go.
So, because I go through the same thing. I have these lovely, wonderful women that I work with that are just spending so much time and energy on bozos or on truly, truly dysfunctional men, you know, addicts, men that have such massive problems that precede the relationship.
Right.
That will outlast the relationship. Right. And the women think they can hang in there long enough to...
And what I found is it's very difficult to get through to women by saying, hey, you deserve better. Because they've fallen into this mode of, hey, you know, I'm here to serve the world. And I'm like, okay then. If you are being put down, if you are being impaired, if all your time is taken up by this guy who's, I don't know, alcoholic, lout, whatever, unemployed, right? Then that diminishes your radiance, your ability to serve the world, your ability to be the best, most empowered, most radiant version of you. And that's doing the world a disservice. And you don't have the right to do that. So the idea is that enlightened self-interest means that you take care of you first. Because if you don't take care of you, you have no capability of taking care of the rest of the world.
It's and like putting on your oxygen mask first.
That's the metaphor that I love. It's like, you know, you go into the plane and the first thing they say is, in the case of a drop in cabin pressure, oxygen mask will come down from the ceiling. If you are with a child, put your own on first. And that everybody understands that. They get that, right?
Right.
And I'm sure some parents still violate that rule. But
sure.
The idea is if you don't take care of you first, you may both perish. So take care of you first, and then you're more empowered to take care of everybody else.
Well, and I always tell women, look for a partner. Don't look for a project. Look for a partner. He should be your equal.
Partner for the project. I like that.
Looking down. Yeah. Look across.
Mm-hmm. No, and projects can be very, very compelling. I mean, you know, in my day, I have, you know, you see an injured little bird and like, oh, you know, and it awakens all these feelings and you think that's a good idea. But
that's why I rescue
you. You are not in the saving business. You are listening to this. You are reading these books, and you're looking for a great relationship because you're in the growth business. And growth means your growth and your partner's growth. So best to find somebody who's a partner.
And yes, yay, beautiful,
cool.
Okay, so can we just say those five again, really quickly?
Five. Okay, the five. Give him his freedom.
Give him his freedom.
Give him your trust.
Okay.
Give him your word, your bond.
Gotcha.
Right, your word. Praise him. Give him your praise.
And give him your grace.
And give him your grace. Those five things, and you will be irresistible.
Oh, my gosh. I love that. That is so beautiful. Well, and they're all about ways of being.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't say in there, talk this way, walk this way, dress this way. They're all about internal things.
Right.
And all about ways of being.
You know, we could give you little bits and pieces, little recipes, right? Or can give you the whole program, the major software that actually makes you that person. And the idea is that if you are a radiant, compassionate, kind woman, then all the little behaviors will follow. It's already in there.
Well, and I loved one of the Huffington Post pieces that you wrote where they said something like, can you say in a sentence as succinctly as possible what a woman needs to know to have a fantastic love life? You said, I can do it in three words. Be the light.
Ah, I remember that. Yeah.
I read that. I was like, such a genius. Be the light. Oh. It's like it really covers it all. Because when you're being the light, it, like what you just said, it's all the little stuff. The pettiness, the insecurity, the clinginess, the flakiness, all goes away.
Right.
Because light can't do any of that.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm here to tell everyone who's listening, and even the ones who aren't listening but should be listening, that you already are the light, okay? So darkness can't obscure light. Light breaks through all darkness, and you already have that radiant core of, you know, the inner goddess within you. It's just a matter of realizing that you're walking around with this amazing power all the time. And anytime you choose to shine that light of compassion, of kindness, of joy, then everything around you lights up. And so, you know, the one thing that I say, people say, okay, how do I become irresistible? What's the secret, Doc? And I say, devotion, you know. When you are that light, when you give that light of devotion to everything that passes by, then, you know, the whole world lights up and you feel great. That's the main thing. And when you feel great, you glow, he notices you. It's just, it's everything just falls into place. And it's not about, you know, the next guy who turns a corner, you fall to your knees and give him your devotion. That's not it. Again, you know, you are discerning. You find the right person to do that, right? And you're looking for the right partnership. It's just a matter of realizing that that power is always within you. There's nothing holding you back from being compassionate. There's nothing holding you back from expressing gratitude. There's nothing holding you back from complimenting someone and expressing your appreciation.
I'm focusing on the things you do want.
Right. So as opposed to, oh my God, my butt's too big, right? You know, that's actually much harder to fix.
Okay, I want to talk about the, oh my God, my butt's too big thing. You say, there's so many treasures in this book. I just really, it's funny. We're both friends, of course, with Evan Marcatz, who has been in some of my programs. And I mention him because when he told me about your book, he said to me, I wish I had written this book. It was the biggest compliment he could have given you.
Yes, very, very sweet.
He was so impressed with your book. And in reading it, I completely agree. I was like, well, damn. And actually, we have a chapter that's almost exactly the same.
Oh, really?
And again, you broke it down in a way that I bow before you.
You are too kind.
The
light
in
me
honors the light in you. You talk about yin and yang so beautifully. But before we get to that, I just want to say, you talk about something in here that I've never seen anywhere else. And I absolutely loved this idea and this philosophy because it's the biggest relief to women. And it's back to the is my butt too big thing. You said, men are not thinking about what you're not.
It's true.
They're enjoying what you are. So it's like you use the analogy of food. So will you explain it? Because it's your idea, so
right.
I don't want to take over.
No, that's great. That's great. So the idea is when you go to a restaurant and somebody puts a dish in front of you, right? Or you go to somebody's dinner party and they put food in front of you, you're not thinking, wow, this vegetable casserole that they gave me is not, you know, Atlantic.
Lobster.
It's not lobster, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not truffles. You're thinking, great meal. And free meal, I mean, and you know, made with love and care. So you're appreciating what's right in front of you. And that's a very Taoist thing. The idea is you appreciate what is. You see the world as it is, right? So it's only when you focus on what there isn't that problems start arising, right? So you're thinking, I'm not pretty enough. I'm not slender enough. I'm not smart enough. And you know what? There is no slender, smart, and pretty woman out there who doesn't think these things. There's no woman who thinks I am smart enough, right? And generally speaking, people's strengths tend to be their biggest insecurities. It's not your weakness that makes you insecure. It's your strength that makes you insecure. You're not right now thinking, I feel really bad about not being able to dunk a basketball because it's just not on your radar. But you're thinking, you know.
True.
My legs, right? My thighs or something like that. Okay, that's usually.
Well, it's such a relief because you say men when they're with women are like men with that casserole. They're like,
exactly.
I'm so psyched.
Exactly.
This is awesome.
Especially if it's a naked woman, we're completely stoked.
I think this is a whole new idea to women. I think we think men are evaluating us the way we're evaluating ourselves.
Yeah.
That men are thinking, ugh. If only her hair were longer, if only her teeth were whiter, if only she had bigger whatevers, if only she had smaller whatevers. Like,
right.
That's what we're doing.
Right.
You know?
So, you know, that's one of the great lines from Tao Te Ching, which says, stop thinking and solve all your problems. So, and smart women, they're really good at thinking and overthinking and overthinking. So I'm telling you, you know, just stop the whole thinking business. And also stop reading women's magazines. That's one of the big points I make. I try to drive that home. I mean, I cannot imagine one thing that could do more for your well-being than just completely abolishing any contact you have with these magazines because they're terrible. Like any one of them has 350 plus photos. I actually went through one of them and counted it. I wrote it up in an article. And, you know, there are 350 plus pictures of these ways you're supposed to look.
And they're all 13-year-old girls in tons of makeup.
And the people, I know the people in those pictures. I live in LA. I've met them. They don't look like those pictures. Those people do not exist. So there's this unattainable ideal, right?
Right.
And the people who actually are in those photos aren't necessarily all that attractive. And they've been modified, retouched, digitally manipulated. And on top of that, in between those pictures, there are ads that say, if you buy this, then you will be adequate. And of course, 2 months later, they change what that is so you can keep on buying from them, right? So just opt out of that entirely and realize you're either perfect as you are right now or you never will be.
Right.
So you have to accept exactly what is. So, as you know, the metaphor I like is that of a sequoia seed, right? A sequoia seed is actually a pretty wimpy thing. It's like an inch long. You're like, what is this, right? This turns into a tree. I don't believe you, right? But you go to Redwood National Forest.
Oh, wow.
You see these gigantic trees, and that
right.
seed became that. And so is the seed imperfect? No, it's perfect as a seed, right? If you plant and becomes a sapling, is a sapling imperfect? No, it's perfect as a sapling. At the same time, it's always growing. So you're always growing, right? You're always moving towards an even better version of yourself. But wherever you are along that trajectory, you are perfect right there. You have to accept that. And it's the perfection, the Zen masters talk about the perfection of the broken cup, right? If you look at a broken cup, it's perfect as a broken cup. It's only a problem if you start comparing it to something else, some other cup which doesn't have that chip on it, right? So realize that we're all broken cups. Nobody's perfect in any discernible way. And accept that and work with it. Because once you accept the imperfection of yourself, you're able to accept the imperfection of your partner too. And that's when you start having the basis for a real relationship.
And an enlightened one.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's so funny you talk about fashion magazines. I never read them, but I do when I get my hair done.
Mm-hmm.
So not too long ago, I was getting my hair done, and I was reading Vogue, and they have that page at the end of Vogue that says in and out. So it shows photos of women walking on the street, and then it puts little black blocks over their faces, and it says, you know, this bag in or this bag out. Mm-hmm. And it was literally showing, I guess, jean jackets are out, but gold lamé at this time. I don't think now, but this was a while ago. Gold lamé dresses were in.
Yeah.
So they were actually saying, like, this woman in a jean jacket out, she should be in a gold lamé dress. And I just thought that was so absurd.
Right.
Like, gold lamé. I'm sorry. Most women will never own gold lamé, no matter how in it supposedly is.
Right.
I just thought it was so hilarious. So
right. I mean,
forgive me for...
Look, if you have that inner radiance, there's no jean jacket that can dim that. And if you don't have it, there's no gold lamé dress that can give you that.
Okay, high five.
High five.
Thank you.
Okay. So it's all about what's inside.
So really, I don't need to feel bad that I don't wear gold lamé.
It's all about...
I can stop feeling bad.
You look fabulous in rags, darling. It's all good. So just remember that it's all about what's inside. It's your heart. It's your compassion. Be the light. If you are that, then, you know... You can be wearing tattered rags and you'd still stand out. We don't recommend that you wear tattered rags, but the idea.
So, okay. So the Biff, Lance, Victor thing, what I love is how clearly you use the idea of spine and heart. Because that instantly distills, I mean, it's so simple yet so profound, like the Tao itself, instantly distills a way to get it. Like Biff is all spine, no heart. Lance is all heart, no spine. Victor is a combination of the two.
Right.
And men want that in a woman as well.
Absolutely.
They want, you know, the woman that's all heart. I talk to those women. They're like, oh, but I love him. They have no boundaries. They're such sweetie pies. They get walked on. They get taken advantage of. Women that are all spine, they're all masculine, which we'll talk about in a minute. But it's the strong woman who's kind. That's the one that men love. You also have an analogy of the ways people connect. You call it the three chakras.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yes, that's pretty important
stuff.
You're
awfully esoteric, Doc, for a Harvard-trained MD. I'm very impressed with that.
Hey, you know,
we're
all about what works, right? So, I mean, I'm trained as a hypnotherapist. The only reason that happened was because there was a class in med school that I went to heckle. It was called clinical hypnotherapy. I'm like, this is a bunch of nonsense. I'm going to go show these people up. I'm going to out cold in 10 minutes.
Clucking like a chicken.
Exactly. So once that happens, I'm like, you know what? I don't know how this works. Nobody knows how this works. It works. So I'm all about what works.
Kind of like astrology. Hate to tell you.
And the that's a story for a different day.
We're working on you.
Indeed.
Okay.
But the chakra system has been around for thousands of years.
Right.
So, you know, and it's a great metaphor. The idea is that, you know, you have these energy centers in your body and they correspond to the
organ
components
systems,
of who you are.
Right.
Right? And so in the West, we talk mind, body, spirit, right? And the eastern parallel to that is, you know, head chakra, heart chakra, and groin chakra, right? So head, mind, groin, body, heart, spirit, right? So, and what you want in
ideal. We call it the
ideal,
root chakra.
Root chakra.
Well, a little nicer word than groin, but.
The root chakra is one below that.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Ah, what do I know?
So they call this a sexual center. You can call it whatever you want. I like groin just because it's like you can't really mistake that for anything else, right?
Exactly.
The groin. And you know, and the dial is actually very straightforward and crude. So another thing that I like about the whole Eastern program. So the idea is that ideally you want to have a connection with a guy on all three levels. If you're looking for a long-term relationship that's going to last, right, you want the head connection, you want the heart connection, and you want the groin connection.
Mm-hmm.
So some people make the mistake of thinking, well, you know, gosh, we can talk forever. We get along so well. I love him. He's so sweet. But, you know, the sexual chemistry isn't there. You know what? That's not going to work. That's a best friend, okay?
Right.
You do not want to marry a best friend. Or your brother. You know what I mean?
It always backfires.
Yeah,
you
that
always
does not work.
End up cheating on that person or
the groin
falling in love with
is the
else.
Foundation, right? So that sexual connection is the foundation. If that is not there, you can't build anything on top of that, okay? And then you have people who think, hey, you know, well, we've got the sexual connection, we've got the head connection. I don't really like him that much. So that's a friend with friend with benefits, right? You just kinda hang out, booty call, whatever you want to call it, right? So that's not gonna last either. And then the final combo is you got the groin connection, you got the heart connection, but you don't have the head connection. Well, you know, that's great. You love him and
you
the
got
chemistry
nothing
is great.
To talk about.
You got nothing to talk about. That's not a formula for a long-term relationship, because especially when you're 75 on that rocking chair on the porch, guess what? One of those things is not going to work anymore. So all you're left with is, you know, you kind of like this person, but can't talk to them. So.
Or, you know, maybe they just have completely different philosophies, right. Interests, you know, values. So your heads are like in different worlds.
So just recognize
That's
that all three are important. It starts with a sexual connection. Do not ignore that. And actually brings up one of the perhaps more controversial aspects of the Tao Te Ching. And it's about just when to have sex, right? When do you want to do this, right? So there's a whole notion of, hey, you want to hold off so you can know the guy better, and I think that's a great idea.
And
so,
truly give him your trust.
Yeah.
If you can't trust a guy, you shouldn't sleep with him.
Right. At the same time, it's also important to find out early enough, before you invest way too much time, whether you have that compatibility. So, you know, do it for him. You're not giving anything up, right? And, do it for you, because you need to find out. Right? I mean, if you think this guy is great, but he's just an unbelievably sloppy kisser, I mean, how do you fix that, right? Or you get him in the sack and it's kind of dead fish. So what's going on here? That's just not going to work, okay? So
right.
Recognize.
So if you have a rule, the six-month rule, you just wasted 6 months.
Exactly. So there and recognize that you don't give up necessarily give up power by having sex with a guy.
It's not a sunken cost.
Well, first of all, the whole idea that it's somehow related to power, I mean – I think, you know, it's a shared experience. It's some expression
right.
of love. It's many things. It shouldn't be about power at all. But also recognize that if it is about power, there's also power on the far side of sexuality, which is that if you're really good, then he's hooked. He's going to come back for more, right? So it's only a problem if you're not very good, right? So get good at it. And, you know, I
you say that all over the book, like the best thing you can do for yourself, ladies,
I mean, you
is
know,
get good in the sack.
I'm telling you. I mean,
hilarious.
First of all, you end up having a lot more fun. And, you know, this is really a missing part of our education. I mean, people out there think they're really good at two things in life that they've never had any practice and never had formal training yet. Everybody thinks they're an above-average driver, and everybody thinks they're great in the sack.
Interesting.
Right? But you know what? There's no reason why either of those should be true.
Interesting.
Right?
I am not an above-average driver.
No, you,
and I haven't taken a survey lately.
You're
of
a
my...
rare, rare individual who would ever admit that.
Oh, I am so not. You can just look at my car. We call it the Creasemobile.
Nice. Creasemobile. I like it. So the point is, you know, unlike many other things in life, this is something you can really learn through just books. And there's tons of books. There's you know, DVDs out
there,
instruction.
It's not a lot of hands-on field experience.
Well, the point is you can practice on your own. So, for example, right, one thing that I advocate women do and makes a huge difference in your sex life is to strengthen your pubococcygeus muscle. That's a PC muscle. And that's the Kegel exercises. So if you strengthen the pelvic floor muscles, right, then you can make your vaginal muscles tighten up,
mm-hmm.
and that makes it a lot more fun for you. You can have stronger orgasms, longer orgasms. It also makes it a lot more fun for him. If you're capable of doing that, that just puts you in a whole different league.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty important. And, you know, there's all these other books on there are just library fulls of this information that people ignore
videos,
their entire
even.
Lives. Exactly.
Videos.
Right.
Well, and it's interesting. You and I have another friend who shall remain nameless who's quite slutty. A man. He gets around. And I was stunned because I've seen him on several dates with several beautiful, fabulous women. And he told me most women are not very good in the sack.
That's
I was
true.
Shocked.
Right.
I was shocked.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to –
And he would know.
I'm going to go on a limb and say, you know, you have a duty to yourself and your partner to be really good at this because there's no reason not to, right? And it's you know, all this dance, this whole preparation leads up to this thing. And, you know, it's like dressing up in your ball gown, going to the fancy dinner, and they're serving, I don't know, chicken nuggets, right? Chicken. So that's just kind of a downer. So be good at it. Realize that a big part of your feminine power comes from your, from a flourishing of your sexuality, right? And when you're good at it, you're just going to move through the world in a different way. You're going to glow in a different way. You're going to, you know, your hips are going to move. Guys are going to notice. I mean, there are studies that have done that say, hey, look, you know, this is true. Guys
notice
these things.
And men say something so great, and you talk about this in your book, that when a woman knows how to really enjoy and experience her own pleasure and really be present. So she's not all about technique or making the man happy or blowing his mind. It's all about, is she having a blast? Men are thrilled at this.
I'm so glad you brought that up because that's what I was going to say.
It's in your book.
So you can go and learn about the techniques, but really all the power is already within you because – What gets a guy off in a big way is you enjoying yourself. So if you're able to remove those blocks and have this amazing, guilt-free, shame-free, taboo-free experience in which, you know, you're just screaming at the top of your lungs and feeling the energy of the universe running through you because that's what you're designed to do, then he's stoked. You don't even have to do a whole hell of a lot because, you know, that makes him feel like, wow, you know.
Look at me.
Look what I did.
Superman.
Look what I did. So that's pretty important.
I am Victor.
Indeed. Funny how his name is Victor.
I know. Nice. Well, I have a feeling you picked that name on purpose. I don't know. I just have that feeling. So can we take a little side trip quickly here since you're a man of many talents?
Sure.
Hypnosis. How can that help a woman?
Okay.
I'm a huge fan.
Well, hypnotherapy is very interesting, and it's been around for thousands of years, just under different names. And I was in medical school. I was going to become a shrink, and kind of looking at how people behave and how they can change their behavior. And you know, I've been dabbling in the self-help realm for a while, and it's actually really difficult to do. And there are very few things that actually work. And hypnosis is the thing that actually works. And do we know how
it
works?
When you say it's
not
very difficult
really.
To do, you mean help yourself? Help?
Yeah, just basically changing behavior
is
hard. Very, very challenging.
Right.
Right? So,
because we're hardwired to survive. So when we find something that works and we don't die, we keep doing that thing.
Exactly. Once you have a habit, dislodging it is very, very challenging. So I found that hypnosis is one of the few tools that actually works in changing people's behavior in the long term. You know, somebody's been smoking for 16 years, they come to my office an hour later, they have no desire to smoke and they'll never do it again, right? So
amazing.
Pretty interesting. And how does that work? And the idea is that it accesses that part of your mind that is involved in your unconscious behavior. So it speaks to your unconscious mind. You know, that sounds a little voodoo, even to me, but that seems to be what's happening. And it affects that part of your mind which you don't have access to consciously, right? So there's no smoker out there who doesn't know that smoking is bad for him or her. And they all want to smoke, but they can't because they're only trying to work with their with their conscious mind, with their will. So this goes somewhere much deeper, and it hits that part of your mind that actually is the machinery behind all your decision-making and your behavior.
Well, yeah. I've heard from other friends that are into hypnosis that 88% of your behaviors, choices, desires are unconscious, and only 12% – are of choice, are conscious, which is why, you know, women will say to me, no, I want a relationship.
Right.
I really want one.
Right.
I have three dear friends. My three closest girlfriends are all single and they're all fabulous. And they all swear up and down they want relationships. And I used to believe them.
Right.
But I noticed over time, none of their behavior, none of the things they do, none of the things they
meshes.
Oh my gosh, mm-hmm. at all. So maybe 12% of them wants a relationship. Just like 12% of that smoker
right.
wishes they never had tried cigarettes and wishes they didn't smoke. But 88% is like, this makes me cool. This makes me like Brad Pitt in Fight Club. This makes me, you know, like James Bond. This makes me more attractive. Like subconsciously, there's this huge like belief in something. So all three of those friends of mine that are single all had parents with really awful relationships or no relationship, all had really traumatic early experiences in relationships. One of them was beaten multiple times by her teenage boyfriend. Terrible. And she was battered. The other one was had some sexual abuse under 10. Like, I won't go into it. But they all have a lot of very good, very sound reason to believe that relationships are a bad idea, dangerous, and a trap.
Right.
And not worth it.
I'm so glad you brought that up because so many women and men out there, they beat themselves up saying, oh, you know, well, something's wrong with me. This is terrible. I'm a bad person. And really, you know, whatever your past has been is past. Blame, shame, and guilt are three of the least useful ways to expend your energy in this lifetime. Okay, just complete waste. Okay, so just let those go. Blame, shame, guilt, gone forever. Okay, and then just deal with the present moment and see what you have here. And if you do have some of these blocks, you know, then
there may be a really good reason that isn't like a shameful one. Like maybe it's
there's nothing shameful about it. Just do something about it, right? And there are people out there who want to help you. There's hypnotherapy. There's potentially a good psychologist who can help you with this. But sometimes it requires something very deliberate to shift things, right? You may need to take up a meditation practice. You may need to take up yoga. And these are things that I recommend that you do. You may need to take up a practice dancing salsa or ballroom to, you know, get back into your body. So many of these very strong, successful, smart women, a lot of their energy is in their heads, right? So they direct things. They make things happen. They
have so
a lot
their lower chakras are all shut down.
So they got all this young energy, this masculine energy going on, but, you know, they don't inhabit their body fully. So you know what? Take a dance class and you will. And so recognize that if where you are is not where you want to be, right, then you need to try something different because what you've been doing up to this point got you where you are.
So have you helped people with hypnosis with relationships?
Sure. We've helped with that. And also just, you know, a big part of the hypnosis hypnotherapy is the interview. So, you know, the first two-thirds of it is I interview and find out what's going on. So,
oh, you know, while they're under?
Huh? No, before.
Oh, gotcha. Before,
just to find out what's going on. And what I often find out is that, yeah, there's some very big things that have not been taken care of, but they're manifestations of a much deeper reality. For example, with one of my coaching clients, she said that she wanted to find a new boyfriend, you know, have a long-term relationship, but her apartment wasn't furnished, and she's been in there for 14 months. So, you know, that to me says that there's a deep unconscious program saying, no, I don't want to let people in, right? Because the nest is not ready. A guy is not going to waltz into an unfurnished apartment, right? And that's kind of unusual for a woman too, right? So the idea is, you know, look around you and ask your friends. Your friends are often very good at observing things that may not be obvious to you. And say, hey, what do you think I could do better? Or what do you think I'm doing here that doesn't mesh? So the same way that you were able to see in your three friends that they're doing something wrong, right?
Well, they don't want – I actually have said to them all, really? You don't want a relationship. Mm-hmm. And that is okay.
That's okay too.
I'm okay with that. So can we stop talking about one day when you find your husband? Because you're not going to the way you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So can we all just get on the same page about this here? They make no effort. They don't go out.
Right.
They don't flirt. They don't mingle and mix. They don't internet date. They don't, you know, and when they do go out, they get attention, but they only like the impossible guys. Mm-hmm. And when a guy likes them, they don't like him. I mean, they do everything they can possibly do.
Self-sabotage.
To set
it's
it
out
up
there.
So that they stay forever single.
And that's
completely their prerogative and totally fine. So let's just quit lying about it.
Right, and that's one of the principles. One of the five principles is get out of your own way. So usually the only impediment between you and what you want is you. So
oh, crap.
Especially if you are
it's not money and it's not the government.
Especially if you're a good-looking young woman, and you know, those are most of my clients. These are not people who are,
no, it's true.
You know, bent, misshapen, 95 years old. No, these are women in the prime of their lives, 30 years old, gainfully employed,
it's
really
true.
Good-looking, in mm-hmm. great shape, and of course, it makes my job easy because all I do is, you know, I just polish the brass door in front of the Taj Mahal, and I say, "Look what I made!" Right?
Ah!
But no, yeah. I mean, joking aside.
Well, and even if they're listening to this and they're not 30, even if they're 70, it's like it's not over till it's over. And I'm fortunate to come from a family where my grandmother had her happiest marriage in her 70s.
Wow.
And called me after a senior citizen dance and said, you know, Earl wants to get married. And I said, well, what do you think? And she said, well, I think Roy's a better kisser. Okay, so that was my grandmother.
That's great.
She was in the game, and
that's
she
fantastic.
Was open-hearted, and she
Absolutely.
Was she loved men until the day she died, and they loved her. And so, and she was fat and had Coke bottle glasses and was 5 feet tall and wore nurse's shoes. Like, she was no looker, and she didn't care, and they didn't care.
There you go.
So when women say to me, oh, I'm too old, I'm too this, I'm too that, I think of grandma, and I go, you're not too anything.
Right.
Your only problem is you, the thing you just said.
Yeah, and appearance is basically just the storefront, right? So it may get the guy in the door, but it may not necessarily keep him there, right? So, and, you know, a storefront can be somewhat ordinary looking, but if what's inside the store is astonishing, then he'd be a fool to leave, right? And, you know, a lot of times they do leave, and they are fools, and that's doing you
a
favor.
That's their problem.
That is doing you a favor. That means you're not going to waste your time on somebody who is not right for you. So, you know, there's never a mistake. There's only feedback. Anything that happens, you get feedback. It's like, okay, that guy was not right for me. So remember, the light comes from inside. So be the light, be the love.
Nice. Gosh, you figured it out, Doc. Beautiful. All that education, all that training.
I'm going to tell you, none of it actually applied to any of this, but yes. No, I mean.
Well, and you say in your book that you literally read the Tao 300 times.
I probably read it, you know, on average once or twice a month still. I mean, you know, it's there and you know, have the recording in the car, and it's pretty short, so. But once, and as far as book recommendations go, so if you'd like to buy 12 copies of my good book, that's fantastic. But here are two books that you definitely need to have in your library. So one is The Tao Te Ching. I really like that. But also Marianne Williamson's A Woman's Worth.
Mm.
If you're ever feeling even slightly down about anything at all, just grab a copy, just flip through it, read a chapter or two, and you will be sky high in no time because that girl gets it right. And if you're in Los Angeles, go see her Tuesday nights. La Brea and Melrose.
She, you know, that theater is the place my husband and I went on our very first date.
Get out of here.
20
really?
Years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marianne Williamson is the female brain behind my book. So, you know,
oh, interesting.
I am.
Well, will you read the quote from A Woman's Worth
that you have
in the book? Because it's so beautiful. And I read that book so long ago and I did not remember a thing about it. But I loved that
quote.
Yeah,
I love this quote. So, Woman's Worth, page 75. And when a woman remembers her glory, a man of goodwill can barely contain his joy. His real self arises in the presence of her own. I'm telling you, it works, this thing, this looking within to attract what is without. Make room for love, and it always comes. Make a nest for love, and it always settles. Make a home for the beloved, and he will find his way there.
Beautiful. Well, it's funny, that woman that you mentioned who wasn't buying furniture.
Mm-hmm.
And so what man is going to...
The nest is not ready.
Well, it's so funny. A lot of women listening to this might think, well, she's not buying furniture because she doesn't want to commit to her single life. She's going to buy furniture after she meets him. And I meet so many women that do that. That's back to the be, do, have thing.
Mm-hmm.
I had a friend who wouldn't paint her apartment.
Right.
After the L.A. earthquake years ago, right. Because she just was so sure, even though she had all these cracks in the walls, it was actually her house. There were all these cracks in the walls, cracks in the ceiling. She didn't want to repair anything or paint anything because she was just so sure that the more she committed to her house, the more entrenched in being alone she would be.
Yeah, well.
When the opposite was, if she would just paint, finish the landscaping, then the guy would come. And so she finally said, ah, screw it. The guy hasn't come yet. I'm just going to finish my house. And boom.
Boom. Like
there
that.
Was right, the right, guy. Right. And then she sold the house and moved in.
Yeah.
They bought a big house together.
Do not wait for life to start. Life has been going on, and it will keep on going on. This is not a dress rehearsal. Get on it, right? So don't wait for anything. Plunge into it. There's no better time to express gratitude, to have that open-heartedness, to be the light than right now, because, you know, it's never any time but right now.
Nice. Well, I hate to tell you, Doc, this is one of the more enlightening conversations I've had. I love making fun of your science background. So,
my thing.
So this was awesome. And how can everyone find you?
Well, you can write to me at dralex@taoofdating.com. So that's my direct email. So taoofdating.com.
And it's so cute because it looks like
Dating. Dating hurts. And of course, the Tao of Dating website. So taoofdating.com is the blog. So the articles are up there. You can go there, comment. You can write me about them.
And what if they want to come and get hypnotized by you?
You can write me at that that email address.
Can you work with people long distance?
I do work with people long distance. That's
true. Oh, amazing.
And I actually have a nice little surprise for our listeners here. If you go to dialofdating.com/goddess, I have a nice little packet of little bonuses for you, a little audio bonus. So you guys can continue this education, and it's all free. You just put in your email address, and we'll send you things. You'll also be on the newsletter, which has some potentially intriguing articles for you. And, yeah, that's how you can find it.
Well, I have to say, I think you are a victor. I think you're not Dr. Ali. I think you're Dr. Victor.
You're
kind. All spine and heart, baby. So thank you so much for being here with
and
me
And thank
today.
You for having me, and I hope that your listeners benefit.
This is great. Well, if they listened, they will, for sure. And everyone, I really, really encourage you to get this book. Evan Mark Katz wasn't kidding. I wish I had written it.
Oh.
I've written pieces of it, but he did a better job. The Tao of Dating. Get it, and go to www.taoofdating.com.
Right.
And you can write him at dralex@taoofdating.com.
That's correct.
And be the light, everyone. Until next time. God bless. So again, I am Carol Allen. You can find me at loveisinthestars.com. I am your grateful guide today, and I really appreciate you joining me on this journey, and I hope it's been helpful and insightful and helped you more fully understand, appreciate, and succeed with men. God bless.